Okay, we're holding Maseches Peah, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Vav, that's 7-6. This Mishnah is one of the most popular Mishnayos in Shas. It actually appears three separate times, once here in Peah, again in the fifth Perek of Maaser Sheni, and again in the fourth Perek of Etias. It also happens to be one of the Mishnayos that require quite a lot of background to explain properly. And in the spirit of the fact this is the concise recordings, I'm going to suggest that if this is your first time through Shas, you'll understand what you can now, and don't panic if all isn't perfectly clear. You'll get a second and even a third chance as you go through later on to pick up some other stuff, because there's quite a lot of background required. In any case, we'll do what we can, and certainly if this is not your first time through Shas, I will try to explain it that you can understand it 100% according to the Bar Tanura. So the topic of our Mishnah is the halachic status of Rava'i. Rava'i is the produce of either a kerem, which is our Mishnah's Girsa, a vineyard, in its fourth year. And there are others, Tanaim, who understand that Revai applies to all tree fruit. But our Mishnah in our Girsa is Kerem Revai, Revai the fourth year in a vineyard, and we'll stick just to that. We'll just consider grapes. So it's relevant to us here. Now, when it comes to Revai, the gist of Revai is that the fourth year produce of a vineyard must be treated pretty similar to Maaser Sheni, meaning it's taken to Jerusalem and eaten over there. If one doesn't want to take the Revai produce to Jerusalem, then he has the option of deconsecrating those grapes onto the Kedusha, transferring the Kedusha onto coins, and bringing those coins to Jerusalem, and using those coins to purchase foodstuffs in Jerusalem. Now, that's agreed upon to everyone in the Mishnah. The question, however, is the derivation regarding the halachas of Revai, of fourth-year produce, and that will have certain nafkaminas ramifications with respect to various halachas regarding Revai. Now, the end of the Mishnah discusses what's relevant to our topic at hand here. The previous two Mishnayos and Peah had discussed the gifts of Peret and Olos, special gifts one leaves in a vineyard. And the mission will discuss at the end whether that applies also to Revai fruit or not. Before we get there, we have the main part of the mission, which discusses the general rules of Revai. And its machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is predicated upon the question of where one learns out the halachas of Revai from. The Torah describes Revai as Kodesh Hilulim, which means Kodesh is holy, and Hilulim means loosely it's there for singing songs of praise. Now, it's a bit of a gratuitous description, and the way that Beis Hillel will learn it is that there's a Gezera Shava, an equivalency that comes from two words, one appearing here in the context of Revai, Kodesh, and one in the context of Maaser Sheni, Kodesh. And just as Maaser Sheni is Kodesh and has certain halachas, so too Revai will have those halachas. Now, what is Maaser Sheni? Maaser Sheni is the second tithe, literally. It's after one takes off Truma Gadol and gives that to the Kohen, and Maaser Rishon, which he gives to the Levi. So then, there's another tithe that's given. Now, the way that the halachic agricultural cycle works is that there's a seven-year cycle, which is comprised of two mini three-year cycles, so 3 years plus 3 years for a total of 6 years, and then a seventh year of Shemitah, and then that starts again. So in each of those mini three-year cycles, there is the first 2 years are called Maaser Sheni years, meaning that one gives the Maaser Sheni tithe, which I'll describe in a second, and then in the third year, one gives Maaser Ani, a gift to the poor, a tenth of what remains after the Truma and Maaser Rishon is given to the poor. The Maaser Ani is not a topic here either. However, in years 1 and 2, and then again in years 4 and 5, Maaser Sheni, that second tithe, is taken. And the halacha is that after one takes that tithe, he doesn't give it to anybody. He keeps it for himself, and he has that extra food, which he will bring to Jerusalem and eat over there. And in the event that he doesn't want to or can't bring all that food to Jerusalem because it's too cumbersome or any other reason, he is allowed to deconsecrate that food, the Kedusha that restricts it to being consumed only in Jerusalem, within its walls, and he can put that Kedusha onto a coin and then take those coins up to Jerusalem to purchase foodstuffs over there. That's the halachas of Maaser Sheni, the idea being that Jews will have full pockets and the Shvakim, the marketplace of Jerusalem, will be well endowed when people come, Alila Regal, to come to visit the Beis HaMikdash and have sort of an uplifting experience both in Ruchnius and Gashmius. In any case, that's beside the point. So we have Kodesh Kodesh, the Gzera Shava, connecting the Rava'i to Maaser Sheni. And the same way it must be eaten in Jerusalem, that is, it being Maaser Sheni, eaten in Jerusalem, so too Rava'i must be eaten in Jerusalem. And the same way it can be deconsecrated onto coins, and then the coins be brought to Jerusalem, allowing one to eat the deconsecrated fruit back home. When it comes to Maaser Sheni, the same halachas apply to Rava'i. Okay, that's one approach. The other approach is that the halachas of Rava'i are learned out from the phrase Kodesh Hilulim, but not a Gezer Shava from Kodesh Kodesh, but rather the phrase Kodesh Hilulim, which means, again, holy, Kodesh, Hilulim, for praise. Now, there is another fruit, the quintessential halachic fruit, so to speak, that one sings praises to Hashem with, and that is the fruit of Bikurim, the seven species by which Eretz Yisrael is praised. That's wheat, barley, olives, dates, grapes, figs, and pomegranates. One takes his first fruits, or in the case of wheat and barley, his first produce, and he'll bring that to Jerusalem and have a special procedure done over there, as described in Parshas Kisavo. Included there, one praises Hashem for having the whole process of bringing us to Eretz Yisrael, etc. So the same way one is Mahalel Hashem with Bikurim, the halachas, so to speak, of and must be done in Jerusalem where the fruit has to go. And so too, when it comes to Rava'i, so the fruit must go to Jerusalem. Now, there's no such thing as deconsecration of Bikurim. Once fruit is Bikurim, it goes to Jerusalem to be given to the Kohen. In Jerusalem, there's no way to sort of deconsecrate it and then bring other, let's say, fruit or money in its place. No such thing. However, the fact that it says Hilulim, which is a strange word, the Gemara in Brachas, Lamed Hei, understands that Hilulim can also be darshaned to read as Chilulim. The Hei and the Ches sometimes interchangeable for drushes, and therefore Chilulim means deconsecration. So we're saying, understanding that from the word Kodesh Chilulim, instead of from the words Kodesh Hilulim, that this holy food of Rava'i can be, in fact, deconsecrated. So according to Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, then, the halachas are the same with regard to what we said before. Summing up, that means for the first 3 years of fruit, it's orla, no one could eat it. And then in the fourth year, in vineyards, and maybe all fruits for that matter, the produce must be taken to Jerusalem and eaten there. It's called Rava'i, and if you don't want to bring it or can't bring it to Jerusalem, then you deconsecrate it onto coins and bring the coins to Jerusalem. That's of universal agreement. That's the beginning of our Mishnah, and it's presumed according to everyone, and that's fine. However, if you don't make Beis Hillel, so then the halachas of Maaser Sheni will all sort of transfer over to the halachas of Rava'i. Whereas if you learn like Beis Shammai, there are other halachas that apply to Maaser Sheni will not transfer over to Rava'i. Now, what would those other halachas be? Well, there are two in specific that we need to consider here. The first is called Biur. Biur is the removal of or destruction of tithes when they go past their deadline. That is to say that at the end of each of those three-year mini-cycles, one has to either have given away all the various tithes, Truma Maaser, and consumed Maaser Sheni, where it belongs in Jerusalem, etc., or he has to get rid of it. The halachas of Biur are beyond right now's topic, but the point is that deadline occurs either right before Pesach of years 4 and year 7, or according to Rambam, on the seventh day of Pesach of years 4 and years 7. So, Maaser Sheni has a lach of Biur. If you didn't consume it in Jerusalem, comes Erev Pesach of the fourth year, you have to get rid of it. And that will also apply to Rava'i. According to Beis Hillel, the lachas of Maaser Sheni transfer over to Rava'i. So if you have leftover Rava'i produce or money that was used to redeem that Rava'i produce, it must be used up by the deadline or else it faces the obligations of Biur of removal. According to Beis Shammai, the halachas of Rava'i were learned out from Bikurim, and there's no such thing as from Bikurim to do with Biur, and therefore there's no such rule of Biur when it comes to Rava'i, no such deadline, no such requirement, and when any deadline passes to get rid of it. The other halacha we're going to talk about here is the halacha of chomesh. Chomesh means adding a fifth, and it applies as follows. If, for argument's sake, a person had 4 shekels worth of fruit, that's meiser, sheni fruit, and he's going to redeem it. So then he can redeem it onto 4 shekels, that's fine. But if he redeems his own fruit, he actually should add a fifth shekel in the redemption process, so he'll have a total of 5 shekels when he comes to Jerusalem. This is a surcharge. The chomesh is adding a fifth for every 4, which in English we'd probably translate as, if you call the chomesh a surcharge, if you will, we'll call it a surcharge of 25%, right? Because you have 4 and you add a fifth. But the way that the Mishnah talks about it, the fifth means a fifth of the total, meaning you have 4 shekels, you add 1 more for a total of 5, so that's a fifth. Okay, in any case, so the surcharge of adding 25%, the chomesh, which applies when you redeem your own produce as opposed to other people's produce, applies to Maaser Sheni. And if you learn Maaser Sheni, also halachas port over to Rava'i, as Beis Hillel do because of the Gezeirah Shava of Kodesh Kodesh. So then there'll also be halacha of, if you deconsecrate your Rava'i, you should add also a chomesh, an extra 25%. Whereas Beis Shammai is going to say, no, the halachas of Rava'i have nothing to do with Maaser Sheni per se, and therefore there's no such halacha of chomesh, no such thing as adding an extra fifth, that 25%. Okay, that's the whole first part of the Mishnah said outside. Inside, there's not much to go on, just the simple reading of the words that says, Kerem Rava'i, when it comes to a fourth year produce from a vineyard, Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein lo chomesh ve'ein lo bir. There's no halachas of chomesh, there's no halachas of bir, because the halachas of Rava'i are not from Bikurim, which have no chomesh and have no beer. Beis Hillel omrim yeshlo. Beis Hillel says, yes, they do. Yes, Rava'i does have halachas of chomesh and beer, because, again, it's learned out. Halachas of Rava'i are learned out from Maaser Sheni, which do have chomesh and beer. Okay. Mishnah continues on. Beis Shammai omrim yeshlo peret v'yeshlo olos. Beis Shammai hold that something extra, additional, special, unusual with respect to Rava'i produce. And therefore, if you have a vineyard and it's got parrots that broke off, 1 or 2 grapes, etc., as you're picking them, or olos, you know, clusters that are misshapen, that don't have the katef and natef, that shoulder and that pendant or drop at the bottom. So then you have to leave those on the vine in the case of olos, or on the floor in the case of the parrots. Then Neem will come pick it up. They will be told, instructed, informed that it's fourth year produce, Rava'i, and they themselves will have to take it to Jerusalem to eat it over there, or deconsecrate their olos and peret, and then bring the money up to Jerusalem. That's how Beis Shammai learns. Beis Hillel says no. Beis Hillel hold that there, that's really a separate thing altogether. Beis Hillel hold that the same way that Maaser Sheni has a halachic status of being mamon gavoa, which means God's property. Quite literally, mamon is like assets, property, money, and gavoa means elevated. So, but mamon gavoa means it's, so to speak, God's food, and he just invites us to sit at his table. When we go to Jerusalem, so to speak, God says, this is my food, but I want you to eat it with me in Jerusalem. But it's not mamon bailam, it doesn't belong to the farmer himself. Since the produce is not the farmer's, he has no obligation to leave peret olos, because that is not his to leave. Therefore, Beis Hillel hold that since their halachic status of Maaser Sheni is that it's mamon gavoa, one would not leave olos or peret for the neem. Instead, he would harvest all the fruit, put it into the wine press, because the purpose of cultivating grapes is ultimately to make wine. At the press, he'd make the wine, and then the wine would be taken to Jerusalem to be eaten as Rava'i, like Maaser Sheni, or deconsecrated onto coins, and the money brought to Jerusalem. And therefore, the Mishnah reads, while Beis Shammai omrim yeshlo peret v'yeshlo olelos, there is halachas of peret and olelos when it comes to kerem Rava'i, v'anim podn la'atzman, the poor people who have rights to collect the peret and olelos will simply redeem it themselves, taking the money to Jerusalem. Uveis Hillel omrim kulo lagas, they say no, all the grapes, including the peret and olelos, are harvested, put in the gas, that's the wine press, and then the wine is brought to Jerusalem, or deconsecrated, and all done by the owner, the farmer, who will eat it over there as mamon gavoa, as God's wine, so to speak, eating at God's table, if you will. And the aniyim don't get any of the peret or the olos. The halacha, of course, is like Beis Hillel.